It's Monday night in the Rwandan capital Kigali, and 8 karate practitioners in white uniforms stand in a row, bowing respectfully towards Grandmaster Tarsis Sinzi, who had just walked in. He's a self-willed, confident man with an extraordinary story to tell. In order to better understand his story, I accompany him to the southern city of Huye and the area around it, where he grew up, driving on winding roads through the beautiful hilly landscape.
Natangiye kubera impamvu z'uko nari munini ndi umwana, narabonye mukuru wanjye ari umukarateka.
My older brother introduced me to the sport as a teenager. I was too fat and wanted to reduce my weight and get fit. But soon I realized that karate also helped me to be mentally strong. So I started training a lot, doing competitions, and I got the black belt in 1984.
As a child, Sinzi lived in a small house with his parents, brothers and sisters, overlooking green hills filled with maize and banana fields. He was confronted with the increasing tensions between Hutus and Tutsis in Rwanda when he was growing up. As a Tutsi, he was often asked to sit apart from his Hutu classmates. They were calling the Tutsis like him cockroaches, which he remembers as being very humiliating.
I continued with practicing karate because it helped me in my life, to defend myself, but also to develop more discipline. Year after year, I wanted to be stronger. Also, with increasing attacks against Tutsis, I wanted to be ready to defend myself.
On the 6th of April 1994, the carefully planned systematic massacre begins. That day, a plane carrying Hutu President Habyarimana was shot down as it prepared to land in Kigali. The Tutsis are being accused of the crash, and leaders from top to bottom are giving all Hutus the order to kill their Tutsi neighbors, friends, colleagues, and even family members. Within a period of only 100 days, nearly 1 million Tutsis and moderate Hutus are slaughtered, mainly with machetes. The small UN force in the country is not able to stop the genocide due to a limited mandate. Sinzi, who's 30 years old at the time, witnesses family members being killed, loses his wife and child in the chaos, and flees. He, along with more than 1,000 other refugees, settle on the terrain of the Agricultural Institute ISER on top of a hill not far from Huye. The group thinks it will be safe there, but within a few days, they are surrounded by heavily armed Hutu militias. On top of that hill, his karate mindset kicks in. Sinzi calls upon as many people as possible not to be afraid. He tells them to fight with anything they can find. He gives people tasks and installs his forces at strategic points on the terrain.
I taught the people I gathered during the genocide the Japanese samurai technique, throwing stones at those shooting at us. Karate has many techniques. Usually we only use our arms and legs, but back then we used lots of stones to defend ourselves.
Despite their hard work, they are not able to fight the bullets and grenade attacks of approaching Hutu militias. After a few days, their resistance falls and more than 1,000 people are killed. But Sinzi, now acting as commander, finds a way to escape together with a group of people who were actively involved in fighting the Hutu militias. Standing on the exact hill where he fought for his life 25 years ago, he now points towards Burundi, the tiny country bordering Rwanda in the south. Sinzi and his group walked across fields and forests for another day, constantly being attacked by Hutus on a mission to kill all remaining Tutsis.
At the end of April, me and 118 others made it to the river that divides Rwanda from Burundi. We made a rope of clothes that helped us cross to the other side.
Sinzi's friend and former neighbor Albert was with him all that time. "I'm alive because of him," he says. "Me and other survivors still see him as a hero." In July 1994, the Tutsi rebel army Rwandan Patriotic Front put an end to the genocide. The army is led by Paul Kagame, who later goes on to become president of Rwanda in 2000. Sinzi finds his village reduced to ashes and almost all the Tutsis have been killed. He points to the place where his dad was murdered with a machete. The ground is now covered with long grass and flowers. His wife's body was found in a maize field a bit farther away. The body of their two-year-old daughter Nadia was never recovered. A few years after the tragedy, Sinzi built a beautiful memorial for his family.
I remember my mum loved me a lot. She was like a friend to me. My dad was a good counselor. He always advised me to make the most of my day and wake up early. I still live according to his advice. And my wife, she was so serene. Our child was so young when she died. She was just able to say Papa and Mama.
Since he says karate gave him the power to move on after the loss of his family, it gives him a sense of balance to make sure the ups are not too high and the downs not too low.
Karate helps a lot, as it is a way of life. Not in terms of money, but more in relation to self-growth. It helps me not to think too much about the bad experiences in the past. It became my lifestyle.
It helps him to accept whatever he cannot change personally. In 1998, he remarries, and in the years after, his wife gives birth to three daughters. One of them studies in China and also holds a black belt. It makes him proud. He's now passing his knowledge and skills to the next generation.
I love teaching because I think I'm good at explaining things I know. I love karate. I started it to lose weight, but it did so much more. It transformed my life. I wish that it does the same for others.
Today, Sinzi teaches a group of motivated students of the Notre Dame Girls' School in Huye. About 40 girls between the ages of 12 and 18 stand in rows, practicing kicks, punches, and Japanese shouts. Kyla, who's 17, says it helps her to relax after school. And I like to feel strong, the green belt says. Sweat is dripping from her forehead.
The message I want to give to my current and future students is to practice karate and let it help them in their daily lives. Focus, discipline, and self-respect, avoiding drugs, respecting others, and having a healthy body.
Back in Kigali, he shows me his house, which he built himself, with a beautiful view of the city. Construction workers are working on Sinzi's new project, a karate studio. He cannot live without the sport, he says.
When you work karate, it works you. It is the only sport for all ages, be it the young, the old. You can always practice. When you can't walk, you can practice while sitting. Even when you are sleeping, there are positions that can help you. I won't stop, only when I die.
25 years after the tragedy in his country, a shiny award with the text "Recognition for Heroism During the Genocide" stand next to the other Karatin medals and prizes in his living room. He's proud he saved people, but his modesty dominates.
They say I'm a hero, but I don't know about that. It is somebody else's judgment to call someone a hero or a star. I can't say that about myself.
A few weeks ago, Sinsi's story suddenly becomes part of the present again. On the 19th of March, the Dutch police arrested 69-year-old Rwandan genocide suspect Venant Rutunga. He was regional director of ISAR in 1994, the place where Sinsi organized his resistance and where more than 1,000 people died. Rwanda has requested his extradition. On top of practicing karate, justice, especially after all these years, might help Sinsi and other survivors to put the past to rest. Eva de Vries, 4DW, in Kigali, Rwanda.